This episode of Risen Motherhood is brought to you in part by Christian Planner. Are you looking for a planner to keep you organized while also helping you keep Christ at the center of your busy life? The Christian Planner is made by Christians for Christians. It comes in three bindings, many colors, and even includes space for journaling and sermon notes. From now until December 31st, Risen Motherhood podcast listeners will receive a free sticker book with a purchase of a 2021 planner when you use the code RISEN at checkout on christianplanner.com. We're so thankful for Christian Planner's sponsorship.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily, here with my sister-in-law, Laura.
Hey, friends. How's it going?
Yeah, we are excited to bring you guys another episode from the vault.
Yeah, the vault. We love that.
I love saying that. And this is a good one. I felt like we should open in song just to commemorate this great episode.
I'm pretty sure we do sing on this episode.
Ooh!
So that's all they probably needed.
I imagine that's true. But Laura and I were just talking a little bit about how this is still so, so relevant and so critical to our lives as moms, and just even in the moments where we're going through our days and things are so busy and maybe we can just kind of feel like we've blown it or we're down in the dumps or whatever. And listening to a rich spiritual song can just make all the difference.
Yeah, we often think about missionaries or Christian heroes and things like that. And I have been struck by a lot of the biographies that I've been reading with so many of them that when they're at some of their lowest points or most difficult points or points where they just think they can't carry on, how, you know, a lot of times we think of Bible verses being brought to mind, which I think that happens all the time, but also a lot of times music, beautiful hymns, rich hymns with rich truths, or even poetry, things like that. There's just something in the memory and brain development that it creates like a deeper memory, I think, when there's something attached to musical notes and things like that. So it's just great stuff to be integrating into your motherhood, to be incorporating these kind of hymns and songs that aren't just like the same line repeated. I mean, those are great. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I can do praise hands for a long time to like, God, you are good or whatever for a very long time and really feel it. But I think we can all tell when there's a deeper theological undergirding to songs that are more, I don't know, complexly written. I don't want to say more thoughtfully, yeah, but they almost seem like there's more depth to them that can carry us through some of those difficult times. But don't get me wrong. God is good, or whatever we're saying over and over at church. Sometimes that's exactly what we need.
Yeah, I read somewhere recently that good writing and helpful words are kind of like a magic trick because they make your mind immediately have a picture of something.
Mm.
And I think sometimes those really theologically rich hymns do that in
yes.
a way that sometimes other songs don't, where it can just bring to mind almost like you can taste and see that
yeah.
the Lord is good
yeah.
and you can grab onto something really tangible about who he is. You know, I think about How Firm a Foundation, and you know, each one of those verses has a different picture of like the water coming over you or the flames of the fire.
Yes.
And as you move through the song and you picture each of those different things, it can really be like, yes, God is firm. God is doing good things in the midst of this. It's just, yeah, they're so, so helpful to process hard things.
Yes, I totally agree with all of that. And before we do jump into the show and talk even more about motherhood and music and incorporating it into your daily life, we just want to encourage you guys that if you are still looking for a Christmas gift, there is plenty of time to grab the Risen Motherhood book. If you are new here or haven't heard about that, Emily and I wrote it, last September. So 2 Septembers ago, not in 2020, in 2019, the good year. No, they've been good years in their own ways. But that being said, it came out about a year and a half ago, and we still think it makes a great Christmas present. It is green and gold, and so it's kind of even got that Christmassy look, and it would look beautiful wrapped or just put a bow on it, and you are set to go. So you can find that where pretty much all books are sold, so check it out. We'll have links in our profile as well. But
yeah.
Okay.
And keep an eye on social media because we look for sales, and we
yes.
let our community know anytime it's going 30% off, 40% off, 50% off,
yeah.
which we have seen before. So we will let you guys know on social media as soon as we find out about those sales, because this time of year, there seems to be a lot of those.
Yes. All right, let's get to the show.
Welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura, and I have my sister-in-law, Emily, here with me.
Hello.
And today we are talking about a very fun topic. We're talking about music and moms and motherhood. But before we get to that topic, we wanted to ask you guys real quick if you wouldn't mind taking about 5 minutes out of your day to give us an iTunes review. Sometimes when I'm having kind of a discouraging day, I will go and read those iTunes reviews, and I have literally started crying. Emily, have you ever?
Yeah, I definitely have like saved some on my phone before to remember, because I just love reading about what God is doing.
Yes.
Because Laura and I just, you know, sit at a table and record, and we don't always get to know the result of what we're doing. And so it is just so amazing to see God work in and through something as simple as a podcast.
Exactly.
It's just awesome.
Yeah. When we hear about you guys are starting Bible studies, or you're getting back into the Word for the first time, or you're communicating better with your husband or whatever. I mean, it's not credit to Emily and I. It is credit to God 100%. But we are so thankful that He can use any little thing that we offer on this podcast in order to, you know, have the Holy Spirit transform your lives. And so, like Emily was saying, it's just so fun to get a little peek into what God is doing. And so we read every single one of those. And if you're looking for how to do an iTunes review, we do have a quick tutorial on our website. It's really simple. It's really easy. Like I said, about 5 minutes of your time, and it really helps new women find our podcast. It is very, very important for iTunes to continue ranking us. Just like, you know, with social media, everything's got algorithms, tricky little things they do. We don't know the half of it, but we know that reviews help. So
yes,
if you wouldn't mind doing that, that'd be great.
That would be awesome. So we are really excited to be talking about music today. And I will admit, I am not a very musical person. Like, I've never been the type of person who can just like pick up an instrument and learn it. You know, I think I was like last chair in flute in middle school.
Although I think you have a history with the guitar, Emily. Is
oh yeah,
correct?
I've tried. And I'm thinking about breaking it out for my kids, because I think they will accept the poorness of my guitar skills.
They think anything is awesome. You can just like tinker away on anything. I'm like playing the recorder at home and it's like out of tune. I mean, can a recorder be in tune? I'm not really
I have
sure.
No idea. But what I love is God has like implanted an enjoyment of music in all of our hearts in different ways, even if we don't consider ourselves like a super musical person. It can be something that really comforts me if I'm having a really difficult day to listen to hymns with just rich lyrics. It just draws my heart back to the Lord in a way that is different than just the spoken word sometimes. And then the other night I was singing kind of a good night song to my 5.5-year-old, who sometimes is too cool for that kind of stuff. And he was just like, "Mommy, I just love this." Mm. It just reaches their hearts. It's so cool.
Yeah. There's something about music that just is a universal language, I think, for all of us. And so it doesn't matter who you are. There's at least some genre of music or some type of music that you love. And it's just part of the very nature of who we are as humans. And it's just amazing the power that music has, and how it can even take you back to like a specific moment of your life. And your memory is triggered when you hear a certain song. It's pretty amazing the power of music.
And it's like one incredible gift God has given us to use for worship. Obviously, we know worship is much bigger than just music and singing, but singing and music is one way that we can respond to God when we look at who He is and we think on His character and we read His word. Sometimes the only appropriate reaction to that is just to burst out in song or to make a joyful noise.
Yeah, sometimes it might not be a beautiful noise, but it's a joyful noise.
A joyful one.
Over here, at least, and for Lauren. And before we get into the gospel or deep into that, we want to just make one thing really clear, is that there is a lot of theology involved in singing. There have been whole books written on it. So there are a lot of ways that we kind of went back and forth about how should we talk about it today. But we really just want to be clear that we're mainly going to be talking about music, singing in the home, you know, just for you as a mom with your kids, getting your husband involved. We're not necessarily talking about singing in the local church or with a congregation. We're just talking about the role music can play as you encourage your family in the gospel and yourself.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. So thinking about the gospel and music and just the way it shows up in scripture, it's cool to see there's like a solid legacy of singing in the Old Testament. In Exodus, I love this. We studied Exodus last fall as a church. And when Moses and all the people cross through the Red Sea, and then they're standing on the other side, they've just been, you know, escaped Pharaoh and the Egyptians, they're standing there, and Moses and Miriam and the whole people break out into song when they see what God has done. It's just so deep and emotional, and it expresses this powerful response as they're seeing the waves crash in that probably silence could not have communicated, and just saying, wow, what God did was really cool, couldn't communicate it. It had to be a beautiful song. I just love that picture.
That is really, yeah, that's a great picture. Then we also see it in the Old Testament as a way for God's people to remember God's promises, mm-hmm. both for today and forever. We see another one of Moses's songs in Deuteronomy 32. He is the rock. His works are perfect. All his ways are just. And it's just speaking about truth, about who God is. And we also see them talking about God's commands, reminding themselves of God's commands through song. Also in Deuteronomy, Moses was told to write down songs and to teach it to the people. God told him to do that.
Yes, so they are just a vital part of God's design. There are so many great verses in Psalms, everything like Psalm 5:11, let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. Psalm 51:14, my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. So this is obviously a big part of our expression of worship to God, just one way.
Yeah. And another way we see song used in the Old Testament is that they were used as a witness to other nations and to other people groups. And so many of the Psalms written would be sung aloud by the entire Israelite community. And probably it was so loud that other nations around them, other people groups around them could hear these truths that were sung about God.
And we see singing in the New Testament. Mark 14:26 says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And so this was right before Jesus goes to pray and he's arrested. He's singing with his disciples.
Yeah, we even see it as just a very explicit command in the epistles. Probably the most well-known passage charging us to sing is from Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And there are a lot of other examples in the New Testament as well.
Yes. The other exciting thing is this is in our future too. We see singing in Revelation. Revelation 7:9-12 talks about there being a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, every tribe, all different peoples and languages standing before the throne of the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches. And they're falling on their faces before the throne and they're worshiping God. There is so much song in Revelation. We even see the song of Moses again, like the same kind of picture of them on the other side of the Red Sea. We see the people in Revelation singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God, the Almighty. And so that's in Revelation 15:3. So song is definitely in our future.
Yes. So you best get used to it.
It's just cool that the gospel is like implanted in song. Like, yeah. I feel like that's kind of
very
where
cool.
It is.
Yes, exactly. It's pretty exciting. I think it's just what a gift from God to like have something so enjoyable to be able to worship him through. So we want to put in a quick gospel caveat here. We see that from scripture, as we kind of just discussed, that singing is a command from God. But because of Christ, we do not have to view music and singing as something that we really have to do. It's something that we get to do as a response. It's a response of worship for the sacrifice that Christ has done. So he redeemed us from the law, and we want to remember that. And that is why we sing. It's not because we have to. It's because we get to because of Christ's sacrifice.
Yes. So what's interesting is even, you know, worldly research shows how important singing is and what an amazing role it plays in brain development and learning and with children and even with adults and with different types of therapies. Like, it is a critical part of even the world's understanding of what a healthy brain and heart is like.
Yeah, I think it's really cool to look at how like a child may not be responsive to you saying, clean up, mm-hmm. you know, but if you sing, clean up, everybody do your share. There's your little taste of my singing.
What's the Daniel Tiger one? Clean up, pick up, put away.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Or how about, if you have to go potty, stop and go right away. My kids sing it all day long.
I bet you're just so happy you got to hear Laura and I sing.
Never again. But it's kind of amazing how those, the way we are built, even worldly science would say, like, that helps with your memory. That mm-hmm. helps children transition or understand instructions. And so it's just really cool whenever those things, mm-hmm. it's like, it is so apparent to everyone.
Yeah, that just affirms the good gift that God gave us. So we wanted to run through a list of just kind of ways we've seen this in our own family, ways that you can incorporate music and just the gospel within music more intentionally in your own everyday life.
That's right. And so maybe you're feeling like, I love music, but I don't know how to play it, or I don't know how to give it into my home or into our regular mm-hmm. routine. So it's just like with anything else, there are very natural moments, hopefully, in your day that you can incorporate music. And I think we want to talk through kind of a list of what you can kind of use music for mm-hmm. and what it can teach. And then we'll kind of give some examples about how we do it in our own homes, I guess. This is kind of a more practical show now that I think about it.
Yeah, yeah. So first of all, I think music can just teach biblical truth. So I know that there's music we listen to in our home, and you can find a lot of the things we're getting ready to mention on our resources page on our website at risenmotherhood.com/resources. There's a whole section of children and music there. So if we're going too fast, just go there to find out what we're talking about.
Or the show notes.
Yes, but we will listen to songs that either have catechisms or have wisdom in them, biblical wisdom. And it is amazing. I will hear our kids later singing, you know, the words got nuggets of gold. And they're just singing it while they're playing. It's like, ha ha, you learned something really true there. And I hope that just sticks in their mind, whether it's a little line or it's a deep doctrinal truth.
Yeah, think about just the simplicity of Jesus Loves Me.
Yes.
I mean, that every kid knows. I mean, mm-hmm. even like a lot of non-believing kids know that song. And just think about the truth that is being in their heart, at least at that mm-hmm. young age, that hopefully evolves into a true belief of,
yes.
of the words of that song.
And I had a friend who told me when she was really young, she used to go to this Bible study that would sing, "Good morning, God, this is your day. I am your child. Show me your way."
I like that
song. And when she got to be an adult, she went through kind of like a harder season. And she's like, but that song would come back to me like every morning. This song that I learned when I was 4 or 5 years old. It's just, they're so cool.
Just gives me the, I love that stuff. Okay. So the second one, very much along that line, is hiding God's word in our hearts. So now there are so many musicians that are creating beautiful music that are straight up scripture, which is mm-hmm. so awesome. So we love Seeds Family Worship. We love Honey for the Heart. Again, mentioned on the resources page, as Emily said, and these are great things because we already should be memorizing scripture. We should be hiding God's word in our hearts. And as we said, music is a really great way to remember things. Mm-hmm. And I know that we've had just CDs playing in the background of our car. And like Emily said, my kids will just like whip out singing that. And I'm like, that's straight scripture. and I'll remember those things. And those truths will come to my mind that are just sort of, by listening to them, it's almost like osmosis. You know, mm-hmm. I'm starting to understand and hide scripture in my heart.
Yes. And another thing that music and singing can do within our families is just really remind us of our relationship to God. It can help us preach the gospel to ourselves, help us remember our station. When we sing things like, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," we sing songs that communicate these really deep truths. And I know we've started trying to sing some hymns with our kids so we really can sing the gospel in just these really rich theological ways. There's definitely a ton of old, beautiful hymns, but one that I like that's a little bit more recent is "Speak, O Lord" mm-hmm. by the Gettys. And we've memorized the whole second verse of that. And we have little hand motions that go along with it. And even though they don't understand it, it's still just really great. I hope that later in life when they sing like, "Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility," that will come back to mind and help instruct them in the gospel.
That's right. I think many of the best songs walk us through the gospel story mm-hmm. as we sing and we can proclaim truth. And many of them, you know, walk us through confession, and they mm-hmm. end in the promises of our Savior, which is truly preaching the gospel to yourself. Thinking of Blessed Assurance with Fanny Crosby. I mean, that's one of my favorites. I know at 5 p.m., I am at a loss. And I don't even know, you know, we had a show a few weeks ago or maybe months ago about preaching the gospel to yourself, what it really means. And in that, I know that at 5 o'clock at night, I sometimes cannot get the brain power to really be able to work through that. But I can remember the lyrics of a beloved hymn. And Fanny Crosby says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And that is just, it's just truth washing over you to remember your identity in Christ.
Yes. And going along with that is singing about like our mission and reminding us of our witness. Of course, the classic little child song is like, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Sometimes that's abstract, but there's things like, go tell it on the mountain, all hail the power of Jesus' name. I mean, it just goes on and on, but to look up songs that really help our children catch a vision for the fact that we're all swept up into this bigger story and we have a job to do here on earth for God. And it's just a good reminder.
Yeah, it reminds our kids that God's story isn't supposed to be just kept to ourselves. They should move us to share our faith with others. And I know for one thing with my son, my kids are obsessed with Nothing But the Blood. That's like their favorite song. And my son was singing it at the grocery store as loudly as he could. And mostly it's just singing Nothing But the Blood. Like, that's it, you know? And I was like, you know, I wanted to like hush him up, but I just kept remembering like, no, like I want to let my son sing. And he may not understand the full reverence or worship of what this is, but like, allowing that song, allowing those words to be proclaimed in a public grocery store, I was like, you know what? All praise be to Jesus, you know, just.
Yes. And I think just a quick note about that, about implanting truths. I think this is one beautiful way we can communicate gospel truths to our very young children, our infants, or even like I have a 2.5-year-old who has some significant developmental delays. And one of the main ways right now I'm trying to instruct him in the gospel is singing to him when I rock him every night. So I have about 6 or 7 hymns that we go through, and I'll like insert his name into them. And I don't know exactly what he's retaining, but I have faith that that is one of the things that ways that God is going to implant truth into his heart. And that's true for very, very young children. So don't discount if your kids can't talk yet, that you can still sing with them and have faith that God is using that.
And one of the other ways that worship just functions so beautifully and singing is that it unites us together. And I know it's just really fun when we get together with friends or families, or maybe like mine and Emily's kids will get together and they'll all know the same songs. And there's just something special. Like, think about when you shared an experience of going to a concert with other people, and there's just something that bonds you when you share those things and you share those words. And so when you know some of the same music as a family, I know our family, we sing the doxology before bed seasonally. I would say we sing it every night. Right now we're kind of doing it and then we'll get out of it and do something different. So I don't want to be like every night, but we try to sing that together because that's just such truth. And it's easy for my kids to remember. It's nice and short, so we don't feel like it's going on for four different, you know, what do you call those? Verses? Yeah. Four verses. And
yeah,
that's like a really simple way of just, we can get together with extended family and they all know the doxology too. And the kids are like, cool, you know?
Yes, hearing others sing
is
even like just an encouraging thing that can just draw your heart back to what is true and, and good in scripture. So there are so many wonderful things about song. Hopefully in our kind of jumbled back and forth conversation here, you got some really great ideas of just new ways, and just maybe you feel more motivated to just turn on a song today for your children, or to teach your children some new songs that have great truth in them.
And something that's kind of invaluable is a hymn book. I was just thinking, we should link one of those on our resources page. I'm not sure we have one up there, but that it's just really nice to have by the bedside table, because sometimes you can't think of them to look them up, or maybe you weren't raised with hymns and you're not familiar with them. So a hymn book is really handy to have. And we'll have some other music. We'll try to pull together some resources for our show notes page that are encouraging. Oh, and we have stuff in our newsletter.
Yeah.
We send out a song in our newsletter every month that the RM team has kind of been loving lately and has been on repeat. So that's another place to find. It's just a single song, but it's probably a good place to hopefully find an encouraging song that you might not have heard before.
Yes. So hopefully you guys got some ideas today. And if you want to find any more of these resources, again, they're all at risenmotherhood.com. You can find our show notes and our resources page there. And you can also follow us at Risen Motherhood on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for more discussion about this week.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, my name is Precious. It is a joy to support the work of Risen Motherhood. God has used this ministry to encourage me during some of the hardest seasons of my life. And I want the moms in my neighborhood and all around the world to receive the same hope and encouragement. Will you join me in providing free gospel-centered resources for moms through Risen Motherhood? You can do this by going to risenmotherhood.com/donate.
Hey, before you go, we just want to remind you guys that if you were looking for the Risen Motherhood book, you can find all the links at risenmotherhood.com/book, or you can find it anywhere books are sold.